All right. Good morning, everybody. Hope everyone's staying warm, maybe dry. I think the sun might be out later on this afternoon. At least that's the rumor. So I'd like to call the TJPA Board of Directors meeting of March 13th to order. Board meeting is being held in person at San Francisco City Hall. Members of the public may attend the meeting in person. Thank you for being here, everyone in person. Or they may watch on SF Cable Channel 78, 28, or 99, depending on your provider, or visit the SFGov TV website at www.sfgovtv.org to stream the meeting live. Madam Secretary, could you please call the roll?
Yes. And prior to calling roll, I'll note for the record that Director Forbes is absent, and alternate directors Ambule and Brewers are sitting in for Directors Kirschbaum and El Tawansi. We also have alternate Director Chang, who is sitting in for the vacant Board of Supervisors seat. With that, Director Ambule.
Here.
Ambule present. Director Andachak.
Present.
Director Andachak present, and welcome. Director Chang. Present. Chang present. Director Lifkin?
Present.
Lifkin present.
Sorry, directing traffic.
Director Ruers?
Present.
Ruers present. Vice Chair Mandelman is en route. And Chair G?
Present. Thank you.
He present as well. Directors, we do have a quorum. Shall I call your next item?
Please. And everybody, we're going to be a little bit flexible with the agenda. We've got a quorum, but we've got people moving in and out and different things. So bear with us, please.
Thank you. With that, directors, for item three, we'd like to note the process for members of the public to make public comment. Members of the public may comment on the meeting during public comment periods, in person or remotely. The call-in line is provided as a courtesy, and its availability may be disrupted due to technical difficulties or otherwise. In-person public comment will be taken first. Remote public comment will be taken after. The public comment call-in line is printed on the agenda, and dialing instructions should be scrolling at the bottom of the screen on SFGov TV. With that, are there any other communications?
Please continue.
All right. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move to your next item. Item four is Board of Directors new and or old business.
Nope.
All right.
Continue.
Seeing none, item five is the Executive Director's Report.
Good morning, Directors, and welcome, Director Andrzejczyk. We're excited to have you and your fiscal acumen for Macy Transit, particularly as we continue to close our budget deficit to construct the portal and make the most efficient use of our operating and maintenance dollars. So welcome to the board. I also want to welcome a new member to the TJPA team, who is not with us here today, but has just started in our facilities group. Sandy Oberle is our new property manager, joins us from the Port of San Francisco, just started last week, and will be working with Ari Walsh, as well as our operations and securities teams. Wanted to extend a warm welcome to Sandy. On Tuesday night, we said goodbye to one of our longtime CAC members, Mark Monty, who has served the agency admirably as the real estate subject matter expert at the CAC. So, in substance, yesterday we attended the Metropolitan Transportation Commission's Programming Allocations Committee as they considered and unanimously approved the elevating the portal to level one of the major project advancement policy. This is something we've been working on for a number of years and very closely for the last several months to prioritize funding for mega projects in the Bay Area. We join BART to Silicon Valley in Tier 1 and are now competitive for regional and state discretionary funding as we work to close the portal's funding gap. This action is the culmination of a collaborative review over the last 9 months with MTC staff and its consultant STEER, who completed a stage gate review of the portal with direct input from our team. Our project satisfactorily and strongly met the 8 categories of the MAP evaluation process. In addition to the letters of support and public comment from our broad coalition of partners, we received the letter of support from San Francisco Mayor Lurie, highlighting his support to move the portal as, quote, San Francisco's most important capital transit project, along with letters from Senators Wiener and Assembly Members Haney and Stephanie, and many of our labor and transit partners. The item now goes to the full MTC Commission on March 26th. Moving to level one of the MAP is very well timed for us and for the project as discussions increase on the reauthorization of the cap and trade program in Sacramento. Last week, Lily and I were in Sacramento meeting with Senate and Assembly legislative offices to discuss initial discussions in both houses on the topic. We're working with MTC, our partners, and high-speed rail joint benefit projects in the Bay Area to ensure we are a part of these discussions as they continue to heat up over the course of 2025. The MTC is also continuing to advance the regional transportation measure toward the November 2026 ballot and has concluded its polling, finding support for over 50% of the public for the measure. You'll hear more about the spot bill, SB 63, sponsored by Senators Wiener and Aragin, as well as cap and trade discussions and other state legislative priorities in the forthcoming state advocacy update. But I wanted to highlight one local detail that may not be part of Townsend's presentation, which is some independent polling showing strong public support for Caltrain electrification, which has seen a 41% increase in ridership year over year and enjoys a favorable view of the agency from an astounding 82% of likely voters in San Francisco, San Mateo, and Santa Clara counties. That number ticks up even higher to 91% when selecting for frequent riders, showing the overall benefits of a clean, quiet, modern, and well-run electric railroad connecting the peninsula. Finally, the quarterly financial reports are in your packet, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have before we invite Townsend Public Affairs to the podium to give the state advocacy update.
Any questions for our executive director? Not seeing any. Let's get our state legislative update.
Do we want to do?
I just got word that Supervisor Vice Chair Mandelman is a few minutes away.
Okay, we can wait.
We can do the security update first,
and
the security quarterly update and facilities update should be
okay.
Sweet.
Well, just hang for a minute till our vice chair is here, and we'll get through some of the other updates.
Why don't we start with the security update, mm-hmm. Mr. Harris? He's got some good news to share with you.
Good morning, Chair, members, Rodney Harris, Chief Security Officer. On January 24th of this year, the Transportation Security Administration awarded the Transbay Joint Powers Authority the prestigious Gold Standard Award. The TJPA was recognized as one of only two transit agencies to receive this honor in 2024, achieving top scores across 17 security and emergency preparedness categories within TSA's baseline assessment for security enhancement program. TSA Oakland surface inspectors conducted the evaluation. The Gold Standard Award represents the highest level of recognition that TSA can grant to a transit agency. We are honored to accept this award, which symbolizes the culmination of hard work and dedication. Our heartfelt gratitude extends to all those who played an integral role in this remarkable achievement. We also wish to express our sincere thanks to the Transportation Security Administration for their recognition. This award transcends our individual efforts. It illuminates the extraordinary commitment of our contract security professionals whose unwavering vigilance acts as our frontline defense, ensuring safety day in and day out. We also commend the exceptional officers of the San Francisco Police Department, whose expertise in rapid responses significantly bolsters our security program. The robust cybersecurity program led by our IT director creates a resilient digital framework that safeguards our network infrastructure. We also appreciate our vigilant facilities team, whose relentless maintenance and efforts ensures a functional, clean, welcoming environment for all. We extend our gratitude to our operators, tenants, visitors, whose presence breathes life into our spaces and neighboring businesses. Their active participation and adherence to our security program has contributed significantly to this achievement. To our board and staff, your invaluable insights and collaboration spirit enrich our collective efforts to push us towards these milestones. This award stands as a testament to the power of collaboration and shared vision that defines our transit center community. Let us continue to elevate one another as we forge ahead. We're tracking three.
Let's just hold on for a second.
Thank
so
you.
Let's just say congratulations to you and the entire team.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Just out of curiosity, who was the other transit property?
I didn't get that. They didn't say. They somewhere from the East Coast.
Somewhere over there?
Yeah, someone on the East Coast.
Very good. Well, congratulations to everyone.
Thank you.
This is a team effort, so it's well deserved, well earned.
All right. Thank you, Chair G. We're tracking three KPIs for contract security. Our turnover rate is approximately about 3.2%, indicating a strong employee retention that helps us maintain operational stability. The integration of flex officers allowed AUS to achieve a staffing rate of 97.6. 24 tests was conducted during this reporting period, resulting in an overall score of 91.79%. Although there was a slight decrease of 1%, our established standards had remained consistent and unchanged. This concludes my presentation. Be glad to answer any questions.
Well done. Directors, any questions? So do you get a big gold thing and hang in the
Once the dust settles in back in D.C., usually the surface administrator comes out to the property, right, to the agency, and then awards them on property.
Right. Looking forward to when the dust settles.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations. Right.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, we'll go ahead and move into the state legislative update, and we have Nicolo De Luca with Townsend Public Affairs.
Honorable Chair and board members, Nicolo De Luca from Townsend Public Affairs. It's great to be before all of you today, so thank you. I'm sorry, this morning. I do have a presentation. Just a quick technical issue. What's the button I push to move slides? Perfect, thank you. So quickly, as the executive director mentioned, we had a really good set of meetings last week, which I'll get into afterwards. I'm just going to do a quick overview of where things stand in Sacramento, acknowledging that all of you are very well up to speed on many of the state matters, and then I'm happy to answer any questions you all may have. So the next slide, please. So kind of some key dynamics that we're facing at the beginning of this legislative session. First of all, as you all know, January 6th kicked off the reconvening of the legislature. If you're into tracking bills, right now we're looking at 2,350 new bill vehicles introduced. As you all know, this is the first year of a two-year session, so traditionally there's more bills that are introduced as they go through that process. Something that's interesting is 25% member turnover in both houses, the Assembly and the Senate. Part of the efforts on our behalf is really educating a lot of the newer members, primarily newer Bay Area members, on the project and all the benefits. When it comes to bills, there was at the beginning of the year, leadership put a cap on bills from 50 down to 35 to hopefully reduce the number of bills introduced. And then, of course, we have new committee leadership. Next slide, please. Back in December, everything was looking really good with the state budget. In fact, many of the different legislators we talked to were predicting a form of a surplus. Unfortunately, the fires in Los Angeles didn't happen, and so we're still trying to catch up as to what exactly the deficit may or may not be. We'll have obviously a way better line of sight in April and, of course, in May during the May revise. Next slide, please. And as many of you know, okay, so key issues for 2025 that really impact us and what we care about. Well, number one is the executive director talked about cap and trade reauthorization. Number two, of course, the regional transportation funding measure. There's some bills on project streamlining. There's the proposal on CAPDI 2.0 implementation. And then, of course, transit operations funding and sustainability. Next slide, please. So this really just kind of shows you what we're looking at over the next couple of months and some of the key deadlines. A lot of the bills that have been introduced that are spot bills, this upcoming week we're going to have a way better line of sight on what they are because we'll see a lot of the amendments in print. So there you see first house, second house. I won't get into too much detail because you all are very experienced with this. And then the next and the final slide is a lot of the work that we're doing with the executive team on your behalf, obviously maintaining our statewide relationships, really working, our top focus is really the reauthorization of cap and trade and making sure we've got eligible pots and helping to fund the project, keeping the Bay Area caucus up to speed, including our new members, other funding opportunities, of course, ongoing relationships with regional players, whether it's MTC or even some of the board members here, and then, of course, engagement on priority legislation. So with that said, that might have been a record time. I think I did it under 2 minutes. Happy to answer any questions. And I really wanted to tip my cap to the executive team. I think we obviously did our advocacy day last week. Before that, we did an advocacy day in December. Before that, in August. And a lot of what we're really trying to do is just be consistent with our updates, making sure we stay in front of everyone. We have a great delegation, as clearly they help step up on that MTC issue, but also members of the Barrier Caucus, other regional members, and of course the governor's office and the administration and some of the leaders in CalSTA, and of course some of the great staff over at High Speed Rail. So that said, happy to answer any questions you all may have, and thank you very much.
Great, thank you for the overview. Directors, questions? Director Chang.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Nico. I would love to ask if you could give us any insight on how you think the cap and trade conversation might proceed through the various legislative committees and then the administration.
Absolutely. So here is what we have. Essentially, clearly for anything, you need a three-party deal. The Senate is a lot further advanced on the discussions and on their priorities. There's a working group of senators chaired by Senator Monique Lamone down in Santa Barbara. They've been looking at different pots, and they've been clear, especially in our meetings last week, that they're good with the high-speed rail percentage at 25%. Something that is really a new conversation topic has been all the different fires, fire hardening, what are you doing with like land conservation? It's also clear that the different buckets are transportation, housing, and then kind of what's in between. So the Senate's way further ahead. If they had their druthers, they would cap and trade would be reauthorized by the end of this legislative year. When you ask about leaders, expect Senator Monique Lamone to really be one of the big drivers. Also, Senator Blakespear from down south, she's very interested in rail and the transportation funding side. So that's really the kind of the Senate in a nutshell. The Assembly, they're a little bit not as far along as the Senate. Their group started, their informal working group really started meeting the beginning of this year. They're led by Assemblywoman Jackie Irwin and then Assemblymember Isaac Bryan. Something that was interesting when we spoke to committee staff last week, and again, there's always, you know, committee staff and then kind of desires of the legislature, was number one on the greenhouse gas funds, GGRF. Some of the feedback was we need to see clear, like we need to see that the money we've invested, we need to see those projects. We need to know that of the money we've given out, where are the projects? Are they broken ground? Are they building? And that was interesting to hear because they really want something tangible. I don't think it's necessarily a secret that some factions of the Assembly aren't thrilled with the 25% set aside for high-speed rail and might want to see that number drop. There's also some concern when it comes to the AHSC, Affordable Housing Sustainable Community funding that goes towards transportation and affordable housing, that they haven't really seen a lot of those projects take off quite yet. So we've got the Senate moving a lot further. The Assembly, they're more of, hey, let's do this in early 26. Major X factor is where is the governor and his administration? Obviously, from some of our great relationships with CalSTA, without speaking for them, they would love to know some type of how they could fund projects 5 years down the road, 6 years down the road, because it helps those big projects. But that wasn't, they weren't speaking on behalf of the administration. So governor's feelings are kind of the X factor. And then, of course, all the investors and how much money is going to come. So that's really, in a nutshell, where things stand right now. If I had a crystal ball, I would, and we're kind of pushing for this year to happen, but it's still a little too early to tell.
Thank you. Just one quick follow-up. You mentioned the auction proceeds. Would you mind updating everyone about any trends that you're seeing?
Yeah, actually, I would defer to your executive director because he had some really good information when we were speaking last week about some of their proceeds and kind of where the investors are.
Yeah, a couple of quick points. On proceeds, there are quarterly auctions. The last quarterly auction was, I think, February 19th, and they published those publicly a couple weeks thereafter. So we just saw a number just north of $800 million, $830 or something like it, which is a strong but not historically high number. The previous auction, one quarter prior, was, I think, $1.3 billion. So that's a $500 million or half a billion dollar drop. Some of that is cyclical in the market, but there's a concern, particularly amongst those who want to reauthorize, that if the program is not reauthorized quite a bit earlier than the 2030 sunset date, that we'll start to see lower and lower auctions because industry will sit back and not buy those credits if they think the program will not survive. So 10 years ago, it was reauthorized in 2017 for 2020, and there is a desire to have that conversation in 2025. Whether it's resolved in 2025 or bleeds into 2026 seems to be the difference between the state houses, as you hear today, and then a question of how much the governor plays his hand here in his final 2 years in leadership. Two other things. There's a desire, as Niccolo mentioned, to incorporate funding for wildfire resilience and LA recovery. And some of the leadership in those discussions represent those areas, right, immediately in Palisades and adjacent. So that'll absolutely be part of the discussion. You may have seen that Senators Aragin and Gonzalez from the LA area submitted a letter requesting $2 billion for operating. Cap and trade does do both capital and operating. But that exceeds the amount that's been going into operating in recent years. So should that get traction, the question is where do those funds come from, and squeezing those in, and that's where you start to see, does high-speed rail stay at 25%, does affordable housing stay at its percentage, and how do you accommodate the various priorities? From our perspective as the TJPA, we want to make sure that the portal is Northern California's top transit capital priority. And I say those words intentionally because that is not operating, that is not Southern California, that is within the slice of those priorities that the legislature is currently discussing that is for Northern California transit capital projects. There are others that are on that list, but it's a relatively small list of projects that are as ready as we are for those sorts of funds. With reauthorization comes the opportunity for CalSTA to issue multi-year awards. For the amount that we would be seeking from this, which is consistent with other projects of our scope and scale, we would need a multi-year large award. We need to be early in that reauthorization process, hence all of our visits to go see Niccolo in Sacramento and talk to the Bay Area Caucus and some of this leadership.
And if I could also just kind of great summary, piggyback onto that, when it comes to cap and trade, we're really asking for three things. One, reauthorize as soon as possible. Two, build out all the pots we'd be eligible for, and then three, selfishly in a good way, some type of line item for the project. We've heard different feedback from different legislators and different staff about line item, not line item, but those are the three things that we've been very consistent in what we've been pushing for.
Very good. Directors, any other questions? You know, it's always about money, so what's the conversation looking like for bonds at the state level these days?
So when it comes to funding, a lot of the conversations, last year there was the proposed housing bond that didn't go forward. So there's kind of a discussion of, okay, housing, kind of step aside, now transportation, transit's going forward. As the executive director alluded to, you all have heard about SB 63 from Senator Aragin and Senator Wiener. That's really for the transit operators, and the latest we've heard, which I'm sure you're aware of, is address the shortfall on the operations side, and if there's anything left over, that would go towards capital. We haven't heard much about bonds quite yet on the transportation side, but again, we're just getting started. If this was a marathon, I'd say we're probably in mile three or maybe mile two with 26.2 more to go. There's always some concern about bonding capacity, and I know the administration's always concerned about the cost to support those bonds. But I suspect as time goes on and we see about the reimbursement for the LA fires and what kind of FEMA might be able to do, what the impact from the federal government on the transportation funding is going to do, then I think those discussions might change a little bit. I think that's more of a May-June discussion, too.
You sort of, set up the other question I have is any observations about the tension between D.C. and California?
At the beginning of the year, or actually towards the end of last year, there was a lot of that discussion of let's give our attorney general a couple more dollars so he and his team can go fight D.C. It's kind of like, oh, let's wait and see. And then obviously the new president gets sworn in, all those changes happen, and they're already fighting D.C. A lot of it's all – so there's definitely been the stance, primarily on immigration, potentially on education. Transportation hasn't come up yet. And there's been a lot of those kind of edicts that have been issued, but not really sure how that actually works. I will say I'm really proud of our Attorney General. He's partnering with, 26, 27 other states to kind of push back. So we're still waiting and seeing. I will say that the LA fires are going to be a huge litmus test as to what those reimbursements look like.
Very good. More to come.
More to come, definitely. If there's no other questions, I appreciate everyone's time, so thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thanks for the update.
Okay, we can go ahead and move into the next item. We have Ari Walsh, our facility director, to present the facility operations update.
Grab it for me? I'll drive.
Good morning, Chair G and directors. I'm Ari Walsh, TJPA Facility Director. Happy to be here with you on this cool, rainy day. Let's see, there we go. Okay, let's start off with some program highlights and a couple of our new programs here at the Transit Center. We had Moses at the Tower with over 130 attendees, a really great art performance. And then we also had Words and Stories, a great poetic and storytelling event that is just now getting kicked off. And for this one, we had a great turnout with seven local poets doing some nice stories for everybody. And our Beer Week kickoff happened on February 22nd. We saw more than 1,200 folks come out, over 40 breweries from around the country, and the weather was just phenomenal, so it made for a really fantastic day. Want to just shift gears a little bit and give a brief update on the leasing and real estate market in San Francisco. To say it lightly, it's been pretty tough the last few years, but we did see some signs of life in Q4 of 2024 with our vacancy rate going down from 7.9 to 7.7. So a very small change, but we'll take any change at this point. And there's been a lot of really positive real estate stories coming out over the last couple months. So we're anxiously awaiting those Q1 2025 numbers. For updates to our tenants, we have a beer bottle in the Grand Hall, as well as a pergola that's going to be built in the park. And then we have Dimbao's and Juice Bar, who we're working with to value engineer their build out. And then we've got our event space on P1, which we're also looking to rent out as well. So assuming we don't have anybody who wants to rent that, we'll be turning that into an event space to at least get some revenue and activate it in the meantime. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions. Short one for you today.
Very good. Thank you for the update. Directors, any questions? All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, we have Alfonso Rodriguez, the Portal Project Director, who will present the Portal schedule and funding update.
Good morning, Chair G and directors. It is still me behind this voice today. okay, I'm sure it'll be coming up. We do have a few updates, and I do want to cover some items that we're engaged in at present. The first item has to do with some funding accomplishments that we've been able to achieve in the last couple of months. San Francisco County Transportation Authority and their board did approve our Proposition L allocation earlier this year. We did receive our agreement, and we actually had our kickoff meeting for those funds. MTC did issue us the letter of commitment in the amount of $75 million from RM3, which will allow us to help fund the pre-construction activities on our civil and tunnel contract. They also they also gave us our agreement. We executed our agreement for right-of-way funding in the amount of $100 million that will allow us to proceed with a right-of-way activity program. And then we did submit our documents to FRA for the CRISI grant that we were awarded. And that does begin a series of negotiations and vetting before we receive that agreement. And as this board is well aware, in January, you adopted the Memorandum of Understanding with our five agency partners, which will align us all in support of the portal. Some of the upcoming activities, and we've actually begun on many of them, include working on the environmental assessment, which will screen those configuration changes that we presented to the board, which expect to reduce our construction cost estimate by about $375 million. Before FTA allows us to bring those cost savings into the grant or into our estimate, we need to complete the environmental assessment. Since the footprint will be reduced as a result of these configuration changes, we don't expect for there to be any issues as a result. We're working with Caltrain in two different capacities. The first, we started a concept of operations study with them, which will help inform requirements to maintain service while we do work on the 4th and King rail yard. We're also working with them in preparation to launch design of, or actually we've begun design, but further design, working very closely with them on the track rearrangement that will be required on the rail yard to permit connection of the portal to their operating service. We're getting very close and working on some attachments and exhibits to the RFP for our civil and tunnel contract. We expect to release that in the next few months. And then our general engineering consultant continues to work on enabling works design, utility relocation, and some advanced works in the rail yard. I mentioned right-of-way activities. We're wrapping up conversations with our two operators regarding the integrated project delivery team. That'll develop a framework by which we progress design and make decisions and actually work together during construction with our two operators in an integrated fashion. And then finally, quantitative risk assessment is going to be updated. Quantitative risk assessment helps inform our contingency, and we're carrying a considerable amount. The intent is to look at our risks and see how much we've been able to mitigate so far, and we intend to mitigate even further. We intend to mitigate further design risks when we onboard the civil and tunnel contractor. So this is a work in process, but it helps us inform what we really should be carrying in contingency. We continue to meet with FTA and their project management oversight consultant monthly. We'll be meeting with them next month, but they do engage with us regularly. In fact, they do sit in and listen in on our integrated project management team meetings, the coordination we have with our agency partners. They did take note that by adopting the memorandum of understanding went a long way in securing that partnership and aligning our agencies towards supporting our portal project. Other ongoing activities, and I've broken them up into three categories, the management plans, and we have nearly 20 different management plans that are required to submit to the FTA in order to request a grant. I mentioned also in previous presentations that we're standing up a digital delivery program, which includes project management tools and design tools that allow us to work in an integrated environment using a 3D design capability. We intend to launch the project management tools at the beginning of this next fiscal year, which will enable us to do more real-time cost forecasting and estimating on all of our contracts. And then, of course, our general engineering consultant continues to work on enabling works contracts, utility relocation, the work at the rail yard in advance of the heavy track rearrangement, and then, of course, YB, which is that track rearrangement of an active rail yard. This is my final slide, and we pay close attention to our risk register. We just did another quarterly risk assessment, and these do represent our top risks. Until we're able to gain commitments on our full local share requirements, we are going to continue to show completing our funding program as one of our top risks. The next three have to do with construction work and enabling us to get out there and start construction. They are critical path activities. Relocating utilities. We're advancing design, but we still need to secure funding to do the actual work. Right-of-way activities. We did get our funding to begin the program, but there are risks involved in implementing that program. And then, of course, third-party agreements, which are a requirement of the FTA before we request our grant. I don't mean to imply that they're not going well, but they are our top risks, and we need to monitor them closely. That concludes my presentation on the portal. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Alfonso, thank you for the update. Hopefully your voice comes back to the usual Alfonso soon. So hang in there and take care of yourself. Directors, any questions?
Director Chang. Through the chair, thank you so much, Alfonso, and congrats on all the accomplishments to date with the funding and more to come. Yesterday at MTC, I might just also ask Executive Director Vanderwater, who actually was there, there seemed to be quite a bit of interest on the part of the committee that oversaw the item for the MAP Level 1. And if you don't mind, I might ask if you would sort of share a bit of what that conversation was. They seemed very keen on project delivery, risk management, cost containment, and to be kept apprised.
Absolutely, through the chair, Adam Vanderwater. The discussion at MTC was a very positive one, and as mentioned, was a unanimous approval with a lot of support for moving the project forward. The conversation talked about how to integrate our governance model, which was celebrated as one of the strengths of the programs and one of the potential regional models for mega project delivery, in a way that allows for efficient decision making. And this is something we've been talking a lot about at the executive and at the staff level, to bring all the parties in, to be transparent and efficient, but to make those decisions quickly so that we don't have delay, or as I often think, paralysis through analysis. The perfect solution to every problem may not be achievable just because of the time of construction and the mobilization of that contractor. So there was some conversation about expedient delivery, some conversation about incorporating governance, and then a general desire to complete things. You heard Nicolo say this in Sacramento. I think the same is true here in the regional level. When we commit the amount of resources and time and effort to these projects, we want to see them get moving, and we want to see the benefits delivered to the transit rider and to the region and to the environment and to the economy, and so moving those quickly. So very positive meeting, very excited to have the MTC's endorsement of us as a tier one priority. Of course, it still needs to go to the commission on the 26th, but that positions us very well for these cap and trade discussions and for other to access other discretionary funds to close that budget gap and move forward. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Alfonso, really quick, I want to say thank you to all of our partners. I mean, that slide you showed, City and County, San Francisco, MTC, FRA, it really is a project of partners. And so I want to say thank you to all the partners to keep this project moving forward. I think the other risk, I just would like to get your perspective, you know, there is some changes with FTA staff, and you know, when we meet with them, hopefully there's some continuity, but that's not necessarily up to those in charge here regionally, but is at least the team you're working with at FTA still the same team, or is there some changes going on?
At FTA, at FTA they are.
Okay.
We have had some changes in the last couple of years with FTA. But we've had stability recently, and we've have a project management oversight consultant, but I do need to point out that I understand their contract is being renewed. So we're hoping that that contract continues on its path so that we can maintain their engagement through the coming months. The number of management plans that I mentioned, nearly 20, not quite yet, but in the coming months, they're going to roll up their sleeves and review them. So we do need to make sure that they're engaged and still under contract.
Yeah, and that continuity is going to be important, rather than having a new person or new team every few months.
That's true. It's important.
Very good. Thank you for the update.
Thank you.
If I could just add one detail there, which is the primary points of contact that Alfonso works regularly with are still on board. They have lost 8 staff at the district level, mostly the probationary staff, and something like 80-plus throughout the transit administration. So they're working to find the capacity to work through their various projects. We're hearing, and we're here with our state advocates, not our federal advocates, but there seems to be growing consensus for a continuing resolution at the federal budget level, which would extend the previous budget commitments, including funding things like the Federal Rail Administration, where we're working to process a grant for track and systems through CRISI. So hopefully that goes through and we can continue that design process in the short term. What remains to be seen is what the long-term posture on things like the capital investment grant program are and whether they change any of those rules, regs, or procedures, which we're anxiously following.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Adam. Any public comment on any of the reports?
Yes, we have a member in person, and we also have someone online, so we'll have Mr. Patrick first.
Hi, I'm Jim Patrick, Patrick and Company. I want to go back to Rodney's presentation about security. I remember well the old Transbay Terminal. I've forgotten what it used to be called, but it was a mess. It was absolutely terrible, and they had a highway patrol station there, and that was sort of the security. I want to take my hat off to Rodney, and you should take your hat off also, because he's done a great job. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Patrick. All right, we have a member of the public online. One moment. We'll get this reset. Go ahead. Hello, caller.
Good morning. Good morning, directors, Roland Trubin, San Jose. So thank you for the presentation. In the interest of transparency, I'm wondering if the TJPA could follow VTA's leadership and post the PMLC report on the TJPA website as and when they are available, so that these reports can be reviewed by the members of the public and others, and whenever necessary, advise the board accordingly. In the event that this is not possible, I will have to request these reports directly from the FTA through a FOIA, F-O-I-A, Freedom of Information Act. Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Okay. Directors, this completes the items under the executive director report.
Yep, and that concludes members of the public that want to comment.
Very good, thank you. Let's continue.
Right, so we'll go ahead and move into your next item. Item six is a Citizens Advisory Committee update. And directors, I believe we have Chair Larkin with us.
Yes, he is here.
Good morning, Chair G, Tilly, Jonathan, et al. I'm Brian Larkin. I'm chair of your Citizens Advisory Committee, and I'm here to talk about the CAC meeting of the day before yesterday. Our agenda included the usual staff report, updates on the portal, the Office of Community Investment and Infrastructure, state legislature activity, security, and facility operations. We also heard from Caltrain on the rail yard's transit-oriented development project. After the staff report, the ever-curious Eric Schatmeyer asked a question about the percentage needed to pass a tax measure, whether it depended on whether it had been initiated by the legislature or by the citizenry. Next came Alfonso Rodriguez, and when he completed his report, I asked whether the delay he referred to in his report to the construction contract for utility relocation work, what the problem was, and he elaborated that it was just there was no funding yet, and until such time as funding is identified, they cannot, will not issue that contract. Eric Schatmeyer asked whether the TJP is coordinating its storage yard work with Caltrain operations. This was just a little bit for an elaboration of what Alfonso had already talked about during his presentation. During the Office of Community Investment and Infrastructure report, Natasha Richardson asked if the bifurcation of the redevelopment site provided for split use of the parcels involved. Martin Munez requested that no parking be provided for the affordable housing portion of the development, figuring that it's not going to be too hard to find someone who wants affordable housing and doesn't need a car. There's got to be plenty of them waiting for that, and that was his request. Anthony Nicor asked about shadows from future high-rise buildings, and Jocelyn Thompson also asked about height requirements. After the presentation by Caltrain on the rail yard TOD project, Martin Munez pleaded for better pedestrian connectivity in the area, as is his wont to do. He often brings that up. Finally, Rodney Harrison gave his quarterly security update and revealed that TSA had given the Transit Center its gold standard award for security. And the CAC gave him a heartfelt round of applause. Ari Walsh blew through his facility operations update, which the CAC also appreciated. Our agenda was full, and I haven't talked about everything that we discussed or asked about, but the items that I did mention here are the ones that I could clearly read from my notes, clearly read and understand. So those are the ones you heard. So until next month, if there are no questions.
Thank you, Chair Larkin. Directors, any questions?
Okay.
Very good.
Done a good job.
Thank you. Good job.
Directors, if I could add one comment that Chair Larkin was witness to at that meeting, one of the members shared that some of the ride hailing apps now accommodate accessible service. So he was able to take Waymo and do you remember, Chair Larkin? I remember Waymo. Did he say other operators as well? Are on the same cost and schedule to summon for an accessible vehicle throughout downtown as non-accessible vehicles. So good news for the traveling public there.
Very good. Thank you. Any public comment on the?
We'll check for public comment in the room on the items. Seeing none, we'll check online. Seeing none online, we'll go ahead and move into item 7, public comment for members of the public to address the authority on matters that are not on today's calendar, and we'll check to see. We do have Mr. Patrick. Come on up, Mr. Patrick, and we'll check to see if there's anyone online after him.
Thank you very much. Hi, Jim Patrick. I wanted to share with you, I didn't bring all the copies up here, but this is a picture of your website, and this is, talks about the joint powers contract, and it says under agreement all workers agree by the same rules agree to work under the same rules on an equal playing field. In return, all workers are provided standard working conditions, wages, benefits, and protections. I don't believe that's true. It goes on to down to talk about 29 or 28 separate union contracts. So I believe that's a misstatement of fact, because the steelworkers don't get the same wages as the or benefits, I think, as the labor unions. So the notion that everyone works at the same level is just plain not true. Number two, I think we should. I see you're going to have a closed meeting, and that's a good time to talk about the joint labor agreement. And I believe that's one of the things that should be eliminated. You don't need that. And particularly, you have the policy of paying the highest price for labor. That's the highest price for labor. I don't believe the Trump administration will look favorably to buying, loaning you $4 billion, given the fact that you're going to pay the highest price for labor. Why would they do that? It's just counterproductive. So it's a boondoggle, and I think it's a problem you're going to have to face up to. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Patrick. We'll check online. Seeing no members wishing to comment under this item.
Okay, let's continue.
Move into the consent calendar. While all matters are considered to be routine and be acted upon by a single vote, there will be no separate discussion of the items unless a member or the board so requests, in which event the matter would be removed from the consent calendar and considered separately. We've not received any indication that a member of the public or board wishes to have any items severed and considered separately. Double checking to see if there's any comment in the room. Seeing none. Online. Seeing none. The items are 8.1, approving the minutes of the January 30th, 2025 meeting. Item 8.2, authorizing the executive director to execute amendment number 2 to the agreement for financial consulting services with NWC, exercising an option to extend the contract by 1 2-year additional term to April 8th, 2027, increasing the compensation under the agreement by $585,706 for a revised not to exceed amount of $2,235,523 for the approved term of the agreement, adjusting the contractor's hourly rates and codifying a change in subcontractor. And item 8.3, authorizing the executive director to execute an extension of the alternate rent period contemplated under the Third Amendment to the lease with Charlie's Philly Steaks for commercial retail space on the first floor of the Transit Center. That is your consent calendar.
Thank you. Directors, what would you like to do with consent? Is there a motion to
the item, please?
Thank you, Director Lipkin.
Second.
Thank you, Director Chang.
With the first and the second, Director Andrzejczak.
Aye.
Andrzejczak, aye. Director Chang.
Aye.
Chang, aye. Director Lipkin?
Yes.
Lipkin, aye. Director Brewers?
Aye.
Brewers, aye. And I'll note that Vice Chair Mandelman is absent. And Chair G?
Yes.
G, aye as well. The consent calendar is approved.
Okay, very good. I think we're going to take a break right now and go into closed session temporarily. And so I don't know, what, maybe 15, 20 minutes at the most, I think. And then we'll come back into open session. So please indulge us as we adjourn from open session to closed session, and we'll see anyone back here in about 15, 20 minutes.
That's right. And we will double check that if there are any members that wish to comment on the item scheduled for discussion in closed session, they have not indicated so now on in person or online, and so we will clear the room physically and virtually.
SFGov TV, San Francisco Government Television.
All right. The TJPA Board of Directors meeting of March 13th is now back in open session. And in regards to item 12, announcement of closed session, there is nothing to report. With that, I can move into your regular calendar.
Please do. Thank you.
All right. Item 13 is consider an amendment to Executive Director Employment Agreement to change and potentially increase the amount of administrative leave.
Directors, what would you like to do? Is there a motion?
Sure.
Director Chang, please, our new director, please lead us off.
I'd make a motion to increase the hours of administrative leave for the director to 120.
120.
Thank you, Director Andrew Chang.
Second.
Thank you, Director Chang. I think we do need to, we have a motion and a second, but we do need to report out from legal counsel.
Yes.
Thank you. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54953C3, which specifies that prior to taking final action, the legislative body shall orally report a summary of a recommendation for a final action on the salaries, salary schedules for compensation paid in the form of fringe benefits of a local agency executive during the open meeting in which the final action is to be taken. In accordance with this requirement, we make the following oral report on behalf of the TJPA Board, summarizing the recommendation for final action on the compensation paid in the form of fringe benefits for the TJPA Executive Director, an increase of 40 hours of paid administrative leave per year based on current annual salary. This benefit equates to a value of approximately $7,051 per year.
Thank you. And before we take a full roll call vote, we'll check for public comment in the room as in addition to virtually. And I have a We have Mr. Patrick coming to the podium. Public comment, Mr. Patrick?
I'm sorry, but my age is showing a little bit. I didn't. You have a blank in that form, which you're about to approve.
He just announced what it was. Would you like me to repeat it?
I would like you to repeat it.
Yes. Director Andercheck made a motion to increase the administrative leave to 120 hours.
120 hours. That sounds like a lot to me. What can I tell you?
I will start taking those notes.
So I don't know what the reason for that is, but that's a lot for paid administrative leave, and I think it's a poor policy to agree to that. No disrespect, but maybe there's good reason for it, it's a little overboard. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Patrick. All right, we'll check to see if there are any members online. No members online. That concludes public comment on the item.
Okay. Roll call vote, please, on the motion and the second.
All right. The first and the second to increase the administrative leave to 120 hours. Director Andercheck?
Yes.
Andercheck, aye. Director Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Director Lipkin?
Yes.
Lipkin, aye. Director Brewers?
Aye.
Brewers, aye. I'll note Vice Chair Mandelman is absent. And Chair G.
Yes.
Chair G is aye as well. Item 13 is approved to increase the administrative leave for the Executive Director's Employment Agreement to 120 hours. Go ahead and move into your next item. All right. Item 14 is approving the recommended applicants to the TJPA Citizens Advisory Committee. And we have Lily Majeswu, our Communications and Ledge Affairs Director, to present the item.
Good morning, Chair G and Directors. Lily Majeswu, Communications and Ledge Director, and CAC staff liaison as well. We completed our annual CAC recruitment for 2025 by soliciting applications for new and returning members from January through February of this year. We had 8 regular seats on the committee that were open to be filled. The TJPAA received 11 applications that included 7 from current members who reapplied. After reviewing all applications, staff is recommending that the board reappoint 7 of the current members to the CAC and appoint 1 new member to fill all 8 of the open seats, as noted in your packet. Before I conclude, we wanted to recognize and thank Member Mark Monti, which I know Executive Director Van de Water mentioned earlier, for his service on the CAC. Again, we ask for the board to approve the staff recommendation, and we actually have our new CAC appointee member here, Eric Moe, and he can provide brief remarks if you're amenable.
Absolutely. Eric, welcome.
Good morning, Chair G and Directors. My name is Eric Moe, and I'm honored to be nominated to join the CAC as a member with real experience in real estate development and finance. I've led the development of mixed-use projects, anchored mostly by office and life science clients with a national developer for 8 years in San Francisco and Boston. And before that, I facilitated commercial real estate transactions, both investment sales and leasing, in the Washington, D.C. metro area. During this time, while tracking major transit connections around the world, I've also seen firsthand how commercial real estate can help to enable critical infrastructure projects like the West Kowloon Terminus in Hong Kong and Greater Cambridge Energy Project, a unique underground substation supplying additional power capacity for existing and new development in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Trained as an urban planner and living as an urbanite, I've been a citizen advocate for essential transit initiatives like Washington, D.C.'s Long Bridge Project and Boston's North-South Rail Link. And I'm excited to contribute my energy and expertise toward TJPA's advancement and construction of the portal to further expand access and to and from San Francisco down the peninsula and beyond. So thank you for inviting me to be part of the important expansion of San Francisco's transit infrastructure.
Very good. Eric, thanks. Thank you for applying to serve on our CAC and joining us at our meeting this morning and sharing.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Nice to meet you all.
So, directors, we have an action before us. Is there any other public comment other than?
Public comment in the room? Seeing none. Checking online.
Okay, directors, what would you like to do? Director Chang.
Happy to recommend approving the recommended applicants to the CAC.
Second.
Thank you. Thank you, Director Chang. Thank you, Director Rivers.
All right. With that, Director Andichak?
Aye.
Andichak, aye. Director Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Director Lipkin?
Aye.
Lipkin, aye. Director Rivers?
Aye.
Rivers, aye. And Chair G?
Yes.
G, aye as well. Item 14 is approved. Call your next item.
Please.
All right. Item 15 is authorizing the Executive Director to execute Amendment Number 5 to Agreement Number 2006-GEC-000, General Engineering Consultant Services for the Downtown Rail Extension Project, also known as the Portal, with Parsons Transportation Group, exercising a no-cost option to extend the contract by 86 calendar days to June 30th, 2025. Bless you. And Alfonso Rodriguez, the Portal Project Director, is going to present.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair G. Directors, as the title of the item implies, this is a no-cost extension asking for approval to extend our contract with Parsons Engineering, our general engineering consultant, through the end of June 2025 while we complete negotiations for our next task order for next fiscal year and life of contract. That is something that we typically present to this board when we come back with a recommendation for funding authorization. This just gives us time to finish that work.
I love those two words, no cost. Directors, any questions?
Oh, I'm sorry. By the way, I did want to introduce Rebecca Wong, our project manager from Parsons, and leads our general engineering consultant team. Excuse me.
Okay, welcome, Rebecca. Any public comment on the item?
Comment on this item? None in the room. Check online. No members online either.
Very good. Directors, what would you like to do?
Move the item.
Second.
Okay. There's been a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
All right. With that, Director Andichak?
Aye.
Andichak, aye. Director Chang?
Aye.
Chang, aye. Director Lipkin?
Aye.
Lipkin, aye. Director Rivers?
Aye.
Rivers, aye. And Chair G?
Yes.
Aye as well. Directors, that approves item 15 and concludes your business for today.
All right. The gift of time, everyone. So thank you for your time this morning at our meeting. Director Andichak, welcome to TJPA. Thank you. Everyone, stay dry and stay warm, and we will see you at our April meeting. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.